The ultimate future for the believer is indeed glorious, but not before the darkest period in world history has taken place. The Bible says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, adopting the doctrines of demons. Modern-day teachers masquerade as believers, teaching a perverted gospel that has roots in the mind of Satan himself. As these days approach, what are we to do? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on Oprah, Miracles, and the New Earth with advice from the Apostle Paul on being aware of the times and seasons.
The Apostle Paul here is speaking in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and this is what he says. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to come from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. What he's saying is, you're not in the tribulation. See, they were going through such a difficult time, there were people who said, this is the tribulation period. And Paul says, no, it can't be. Earlier in the first letter, he had taught them to look for the appearance of Jesus Christ. That's why many of us believe that there are really two comings of Jesus that are going to take place. There's first of all the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and then the period of tribulation, and it is during that period of tribulation that Antichrist arises. And Paul is going to say that you can't be in the tribulation because these other events have as yet not happened, nor are they happening. That's Paul's argument. Now, there will be Christians in the tribulation period because during that time, even though the church will be taken out, the gospel will still arise, and eventually, during those horrible, horrible years, many will believe, as we'll see in a moment. Paul says, the final act of Jesus Christ's glorious return and the tribulation period cannot happen unless three things are true. Let no one, verse 3, deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. The rebellion has to come. Actually, the Greek word is the apostasy. There is going to be worldwide apostasy, and Paul says that has to come. What do you think will be taught in this worldwide apostasy? The Apostle Paul gives us a bit of an inkling when he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. Wow, what an indictment of false teachers. Why does Paul say the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared? For the apostates. You think, for example, of a woman like Helen Schuchman that I've referred to before. She is now deceased. She wrote the original book, A Course in Miracles. The psychiatrist who spoke at her funeral later on said these words, for a woman who didn't believe in suffering, and remember the Course teaches there is no suffering, there is no evil, there is no sin. He said, for someone who didn't believe that suffering existed, he had never seen anyone go into, and these are his words, the blackest and the most psychotic depression and suffering that he had ever seen in his psychiatric practice. Why is that? Because just imagine teaching that you are entirely holy. There's something within you that tells you this can't be right, but you have to go on teaching it because the spirit guide told you that it is so, and you've invested so much in it that it becomes difficult to change that, and you have to sear your conscience because truth has to be suppressed. And even though down deep in your heart you know it can't be true, you have to keep saying it anyway. Paul says, liars whose consciences are seared. Wow. But there's going to be a worldwide apostasy. Maybe we're seeing a little bit of it today, but there's going to be a huge apostasy. Secondly, Paul says it can't happen until the restrainer is taken away. And because this restrainer obviously can't be a human being, it must be, some people think, that the church is taken to heaven. And because of the ministry, the special ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church, when that happens, all wickedness begins to break loose. And the most evil of the human hearts is revealed. So Paul says in the next verses, that has to happen. And then he says Antichrist will come. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And he who restrains, I take to be the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the church. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. That's what's going to happen in the glorious return of Jesus. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, boy, this takes your breath away. I wouldn't believe it, but it's here in God's holy word. God sends them a strong delusion so they will believe what is false. Actually, the Greek text says to believe the lie. Very quickly, I'm only going to list them. I'm going to give you some characteristics of Antichrist, and then we shall talk about how it will all end. First of all, notice that Antichrist will speak peace. He'll speak peace, but prepare for war. This is found in the book of Daniel, and I don't have time today to read the passage, but just know that the whole banner, he will arise in Europe, he will unify Europe, and the whole banner under which he shall be admired and appreciated and loved is peace. People will be saying, we're so tired of war, give us the peace candidate, and he will be it. But the Bible says he'll be in love with violence. Wow, that's number one. Number two, he will receive global worship. For a short time, he will receive global worship. This is an astounding passage taken from the book of Revelation. Remember, Antichrist is the beast here in chapter 13. Don't turn to it, but listen carefully. And the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and he was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in the heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. He can kill them. God says, I'm giving you permission to do that. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Oh, wow. Except those whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain. It's awesome. For a brief time, Satan's man rules. He makes a covenant of peace with Israel as a candidate of peace. He goes into the temple of God, and that's why some of us believe that the temple in Jerusalem still has to be rebuilt. You'll notice it there in the text. It says, he goes into the temple of God, and verse 4 it is, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. And it's that time that all the world wonders at the beast. And then notice that the text says, that's number three, he will receive global worship. Number four, his role is confirmed by miracles. His role is confirmed by miracles. Verse 9, the coming and the appearance of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Twice. In the New Testament, these words, namely power, false signs, and wonders, are referred to the miracles of Jesus. Do you see the duplication? This is Satan's hour. He's going to be doing what Jesus can do. False signs, wonders, powers, and he's got it all. And miracles. If you're taking the course in miracles, you'll learn something like this. Quote, miracles enable you to heal the sick and to raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle capable of creating in the likeness of your Creator. And so miracles will be found everywhere. Parenthesis. Does Satan heal anyone today? Yes, he sure does. There was a healing meeting going on, and God sometimes heals, no question about it, but you have a lot of charlatans in the healing industry, I'll tell you. That's huge. And he went in one of these meetings and was healed from his physical affliction. But he noticed that there was something that came along with the healing. There was a demonic affliction. He could sense a darkness, an evil spirit. And so he rebuked the evil spirit. He was a believer, after all. He rebuked the evil spirit, and his sickness came back to him. The devil will do everything he can to duplicate God's miracles. I also failed to mention that he will be a pawn of Satan, something like Hitler, but that's already implied. So the next thing and the last characteristic of this beast is that God enables people to be deceived. This also should shock us, but there it is in the text, verse 11. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. The Greek text says, believe the lie. I wish that the translators had simply translated what the Greek text says, the lie. Because I believe that it's a specific lie. And the specific lie is the divinity of man. The fact that somebody can set himself up in the temple and proclaim himself to be God, and the whole world worships him. And the divinity of man has always been Satan's greatest lie.
Yes, my friend, we're living in an era of self-worship. This is Pastor Lutzer. And I do believe that we are being set up, so to speak, so that we all will be tempted to believe the lie, at least those who have never received Christ as Savior. It is truly chilling when we read the passage that I referred to, that God will send them strong delusion to believe the lie. Imagine that. At last, man will be free to believe what he has always wanted to believe, namely, in his own divinity. And that, of course, will set things up for the Antichrist, who will proclaim himself to be God and expect human beings to worship him. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on Oprah, Miracles, and the New Earth, a critique of a perverted gospel with roots in the Garden of Eden. Tomorrow, a look forward to a time when the lie is trampled underfoot by the return of Jesus to this earth. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours as a book from Moody Publishers. Oprah, Miracles, and the New Earth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.